Galatians 5. Lord, thank you tonight. Bless this time and bless your word. Anoint. In Jesus' name, amen. 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." Called to liberty. One of the great characteristics of our ministry over the past, 50 years has been the liberty we've had in grace. Grace liberty. Grace that produces liberty. And what an amazing thing that is. I remember, you know, many, many years ago trying to teach grace, and we were like the only ones on the block that taught grace way back then. And you would get persecuted for it. You would get sentenced to hell because you taught grace. You would hear all kinds of stuff for any kind of grace teaching. It's a lot more acceptable today, but back then it was a rarity. It was a treat. And when we heard it, after being beat up by legalism for many years, when we heard it, we embraced it. It was like, what a breath of fresh air! What an amazing. Amazing thing. We had a couple go down to Colombia for a month to visit their family and stuff, and they're part of our church, and they came back, and we had a rap session, and she stood up and gave a testimony. Her husband, of course, prodded her. He wouldn't speak. But she stood up and said that the one beautiful thing about our church, that she was so happy to be back because of the liberty that she felt when she was there. The freedom she felt that she was there. It's because when you're under the law, and unfortunately there are places that continue to use the law or some form of the law to measure people with, when you're under that, you're always under the measuring stick. You're always under pressure. You're always having to behave in a certain way in order for people to approve of you. Yeah. Or in order for God to approve of you, you have to behave in a certain way. And if you don't, you feel bad. Even if you don't admit it, your subconscious feels bad because you're not living up to what you think you ought to live up to. You don't pray enough. You don't witness enough. You don't read your Bible enough. You don't do this or that enough. And on and on it goes. There's always something, and you're always feeling bad about yourself. Mm. And even if you don't admit it, you still have this, and you can tell, because people that get that way, they're kind of a little bit happy when other people fail. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have, you know, somebody else in the club. And so there's kind of this little happiness when somebody else fails. It's almost like to be critical sometimes is a release for them. Mm-hmm. To be judgmental is a release for them.
Right.
Because they're under that yoke. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize it. They don't realize it. To them, it's just Christianity. It's what Jesus wants, and that's what they're trying to do, and they're trying to be obedient believers and so forth. But they're under the yoke, and when they're under the yoke, it's very, very difficult. So the law is my measuring stick, whether it's the beginning with the Ten Commandments, or whether it's man-made laws, or whether it's just the rules and standards that people put on people in religious environments. As a measuring stick is gone when I have liberty. It's gone. And I'm no longer being measured by anyone's opinion of what's right and what's wrong, or what should be or what shouldn't be. And I'm because of that, I'm not condemned. I mean, if there's no law, there's no condemnation, because what is there to condemn you if you're not following up on some rule that you're supposed to be doing? So it's an amazing thing that people are always looking to be accepted or approved of by the rules that they keep, by the lives that they live, by how they compare themselves with other people, and all of that. But the beautiful thing is that it's always grace for us. It's always liberty. We've been called into it, which means we are invited to participate in liberty. Yeah. And we have liberty. The Galatians, they were straying away from liberty. They were starting to get under the yoke again. They were listening to teachers who were putting the yoke upon them. And they were straying away from it and starting to feel they had to do things in order for God to accept them. Mm. Or God to even approve of them. Or to get their prayers answered. They had to do certain things. You know, you've seen those TV shows where, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. I mean, it doesn't work that way. God does this for you because Jesus did it. Yeah. And you're not going to impress God.
No.
You're not going to make him say, "Wow, I got to really give that person what they want." It doesn't work that way. We're all under grace. We're all in that place of receptivity from God through faith, and we started out with salvation, which was a simple act of faith on your part. And God's grace saved you. Grace found you, as we heard that beautiful song this evening, and grace saved them. Yeah. So does that mean we live lawlessly?
No.
We're not under the law. No, because we are believers. We actually have a higher standard. We have the Holy Spirit to follow. We have the will of God. And the will of God is actually much more complex than the laws. Because you can have a law, you can say... Let's see, you can say, don't steal, or you can say, don't lie, and those are the laws, but on the inside you're lying, on the outside you're not, but on the inside you are. Or let me try to find a better example than that, as I scan my fertile brain. Come up short, really short. It's a matter of... The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and he leads you into God's will. Now, God's will tells you on certain occasions, everybody here, if you can think of a time when the Holy Spirit led you to do something, had you call somebody, had you talk to somebody, had you take a certain job or rent a certain apartment or bought a certain car that later broke down, or whatever, the Holy Spirit led you to do it. You can't find a law in the Bible to tell you to do that. There's nothing that says, thou shalt take the third job offer. Right? There's nothing that tells you that. There's nothing that says any of the details to your life. There's nothing that tells you that in the law. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit in all of these things. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, then you will fulfill the law anyways, because the Holy Spirit never leads you in to do anything that's contrary to God.
That's right.
So you're living in a very in a higher plane. We are looking to walk in the will of God. If we get off track, we get back on. Because we have grace to recover in. But we're always walking down that pathway. We're always walking with the Lord, trying and seeking the Lord for his will on every single day of our life. So that we are walking in his plan. And in doing that, you will fulfill the law anyways, but you're not under it, but you would fulfill it. And the law will never be your judge. So he says, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not use... You know, on my worst day, I'm still accepted.
Praise God. Yeah.
On my worst day, that might have been today. On my worst day, on my greatest failure, I'm still accepted. I'm still loved. I still have access to God. I mean, I still have access to God. I just failed miserably. And I have access to God. Sin separates me from God. No, I have access to God. I just failed. But I have access to God. How else is my life ever going to get changed if I can't draw near to God? If every time I sin, I'm pushed back from God, how can I ever be changed? I can't change myself. You ain't going to change me. I'm stubborn. You won't change me. Only God can change me. That's not going to happen unless I can draw near to Him. So why condemn a person? Why push a person back? Why put them in the corner and put your finger in their face? They don't need that. They need to draw near to God. That's what they need. Amen?
Amen.
So listen, we follow after His will. We're not following after a law or a set of rules or anything else. We're just following His will. And then by love, it says in the last part of that verse, which is the Holy Spirit's principal production in your life, right? Love, joy, peace. It's His number one thing. He produces love through you, and that love is directed, His love through you is directed towards people, especially the people in this room, especially the people in your own, that you call your brothers in the Lord. That's how you can, I mean, you want a spirit-filled person, they're always involved with serving people. They don't have to go around with their, pretending to be spiritual and saying all kinds of, crazy spiritual things to let you know that they're spiritual. Ooh, the Lord just told me something. You don't have to go through all that to prove that you're spiritual. Serving people is the evidence of your spirituality. Serving people, living for others, winning people to Christ. That's the evidence of spirituality. If you're not spiritual, you're selfish, then you're not going to do any of that. You're going to live for yourself. Life to you is about money, about success, about gaining, about moving yourself forward. It's not about others. Spirituality is, I serve people. Because that's the principal production of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is loving people, loving others, loving God. Loving God produces obedience. It's all about love. And so the next verse right after that, I don't have that in front of me, but I know it says that he that loves has fulfilled the law. That the whole law is wrapped up into that one word, love. So I'm following the Holy Spirit. I'm loving my brothers and sisters. I'm loving the lost. And you're walking in the Spirit. You're not being judged. You're not receiving condemnation from anybody. You may fail 7 times. You just get back up again, get back on the track, and keep on going. You don't beat yourself up and feel sorry for yourself. It's all about liberty. We have the liberty to do that. We don't pay penance or have a probation period. It's all about liberty given to us by grace. For Lord, bless these thoughts. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.